Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The names of more than 58,000 Americans are etched on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. 40 years after the end of the war in Vietnam, the life stories behind many of those names are fading from memory. On this Memorial Day, WBUR's Steve Brown brings us the story of one Marine from Boston. He begins his story at a cemetery in Brighton.
For nearly every Memorial Day I can remember, I've been passing Staff Sergeant John H. McCarthy's headstone here at the Evergreen Cemetery in Brighton. His grave is located in the same row as my grandparents. He was buried here in the spring of 1968. Last year, I looked at the dates on Sergeant McCarthy's grave and wondered, was he one of the 58,220 Americans killed in the Vietnam War? Turns out he was, and I set out to tell his story.
You know, he went for all the, you know, right reason, you know.
Richie McCarthy still gets emotional when talking about his big brother, Jack.
He loved the country, and he thought that, that we were at war, and that he wanted to, fight for his country, and he thought that was the right thing to do, and that's what he did.
The two brothers, separated by 22 months in age, were close growing up in Alston, Brighton.
His bed was closest to the window, mm-hmm. and we used to, jumping back and forth on each other's beds, and I was on his bed one day, and he jumped, and my head went out the window, and then he grabbed me. Whether I would have continued going, who knows, but, the story was he saved me from going out the window.
Jack McCarthy was always looking out for his little brother. The boy's father died when they were toddlers. They had a typical childhood growing up in the 1940s and 50s, playing ball at a nearby field, roller skating at the park down the street, collecting pollywogs from a pond. As a child, Jack developed a talent.
My brother was artistic. He liked to paint.
Richie McCarthy, a retired Boston police detective, is reminded of his brother's talent every day. Two of his paintings still hang on his living room wall. But McCarthy says his brother was often his own worst critic.
A lot of times he did these paintings and he'd do it and say, "It's a beautiful painting." And the next thing I know, he'd have painted over it so he could paint again. Or he'd tear them up and throw them out. I don't know. I guess he didn't think they were good enough.
As the 1950s drew to a close, Jack McCarthy developed an interest in the military. And on his 17th birthday in 1960, enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps.
He was like a tall, good-looking kid, and he looked like a Marine.
Dan Daly was one of Jack McCarthy's childhood friends.
He was probably like 6'1", maybe 215, muscular type of kid. When you saw him in his uniform, it was impressive. I mean, he could be a poster boy for the Marines.
Daly describes Jack McCarthy as a happy-go-lucky guy.
He was a tough kid, and he had a lot of confidence, and he... he just seemed like nothing bothered him. He's always joking around. Just a regular kid of that era, just one of us.
And by all accounts, Jack McCarthy thrived in the Marine Corps. In 1962, he was one of 13 rifle-toting Marines chosen for a training exercise at Camp Lejeune for the benefit of President Kennedy. The Marines emerged from a helicopter to halt the presidential limousine to demonstrate to the president the security capabilities of the elite unit, which was described in a news account as the toughest, hardest fighting, and most dangerous unit of the Marine Corps. Later that year, McCarthy was assigned to a ship that was part of the Cuban Missile Blockade. In 1965, with hostilities heating up, he was sent to Vietnam for the first time. His assignment was working with South Vietnamese villagers and rooting out the Viet Cong.
November 18th, 1965. Dear Mom, I'll really miss some of the people in this village. All the kids call me by my name, and most of the older people, too. We've had a few more brushes with the VC in our area, but we are getting smarter than them because we have been killing them, and they haven't hurt us for a long time. Your loving son, Jackie.
After 13 months in Vietnam, Jack McCarthy returned stateside. But by late 1967, McCarthy got the call again to return to Vietnam.
We had conversations before he went back the second time, and he told me that, that he thought, something could happen.
Richie McCarthy says it wasn't a premonition, but his brother realized on this tour he might not be so lucky.
He realized there was a chance that you may not come back. And I remember, you know, trying to dismiss it. And, you know, he just said, that's what it is type of thing. And, you know, I said, oh, that's not going to happen. And he said, well, you know, good chance it is. And pretty much, you know, that's where we left it, me saying that wasn't going to happen. And him saying, well, you know, you got to be a realist. This is war. It's, you know, second time. Something could happen.
And something did happen. At approximately 10:45 on the morning of February 18, 1968, McCarthy led his platoon deep into enemy territory in Quang Nam province. He stepped on an enemy explosive device and was severely wounded. He was evacuated to a naval field hospital in Da Nang. He was able to dictate some letters home.
Dear Mom, sorry to not have written before, but I'm feeling better now and going to be okay. I'm lucky it wasn't any worse, but I've lost my right leg and the sight of my right eye. Don't worry about it. Please. Your loving son, John.
After weeks at the field hospital, McCarthy was transferred to an army hospital in Japan. But despite the efforts of surgeons, he failed to respond to treatment and died on the morning of March 25th. John H. McCarthy was 24 years old.
When I think of him, I just think of what a shame it is he couldn't really live his life.
Jack McCarthy's friend, Dan Daly.
You know, when I'd see his name on the wall like I was in D.C. recently, or the stone in front of the station, that's all I think of. What a shame. Poor kid. He was so young. He never really had children. He didn't have a life. He was just starting out and snuffed out. And it was sad. He had a lot of potential. It wasn't realized, you know.
Not realized, but not forgotten. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Steve Brown.